But she said, there's one last thing that I want, and that is, I want you to put a fork in my hand. And the pastor thought, wow, that's kind of a strange request. You know, I don't understand. You know, why do you want a fork? And she said, you know, I remember the church socials where we would have, you know, the regular meal, and that was delicious. But she said, for dessert, somebody would always have deep dish apple pie or a fantastic chocolate cake. And she said that they would always tell you to hold on to your fork because the best is yet to come. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, the good news is that Jesus saves us. The good news is that we've been cleansed of our sins. The good news is that we've been sanctified. The good news is that we've been justified. But I'm here to tell you that the best is yet to come.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will begin a new series of messages about heaven. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Good News from Heaven.
We're going to start a Advent series, and as you notice in the bulletin, the song that we are singing is one written by Martin Luther, and it was written for one of his children. And we were singing that because our focus during this Advent season is going to be on heaven. And we're going to look at heaven on earth. The title of our series is Heaven Must Be Like This. It must be like this. And today, we are going to talk about good news. Good news from heaven. So if you will open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very much afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This morning we want to talk to you about good news from heaven. If you'll look at your notes, we have the introduction to the series. Heaven is a spectacular place, but we cannot grasp the full reality of it through our human experience. Even though we can never know the majestic nature of heaven while on this earth, we do get glimpses of it in passages throughout the Bible. These foretastes of glory divine are quite limited as they try to depict heaven in pictures we can understand. During this Advent series, we want to get a taste of what heaven is like and how Jesus brought it to earth. And so we are talking about heaven. And the fact that each and every one of us here can experience heaven on earth. And so today we want to talk about the good news about heaven. The first thing that I want to say, I want to talk about the place. We see that this morning we're going to look at the place, the problem, the purification, and the promise. So let's start by looking at the place. I'm reminded of a story that I heard. A little girl and her mother was walking outside one starry night, and the little girl looked up into heaven and saw the stars and saw the constellations. And she said to her mother, she said, "Mother, if heaven is so beautiful from the wrong side, what must it be like on the right side?" And so when we look at the stars, we are looking at the wrong side of heaven. Today, we want to get on the other side. We want to look at the right side of heaven. And the first thing that I want to talk about this place is found in Revelation chapter 21. If you would turn there, Revelation chapter 21. And we see in this passage of scripture, it talks about the New Jerusalem. And in the New Jerusalem, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 2, John said in verse 1, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And so it says that the heaven that came down out of the sky was adorned like a bride that's getting ready to get married. And the word there, adorned, comes from the Greek word cosmeo. And that's where we get the English word cosmetics from. And so it says that this bride was as beautiful as she could be. That this new Jerusalem, that this heaven that was coming down out of the sky was a sight to behold. You know, I've done many weddings in my lifetime as a minister. And the highlight of every wedding, you can guess what it is when the doors are closed and everybody's inside. And then I see the bride, and most of the time it's her father, that's standing back behind the door. And then I say, "All right." And when everybody rises, their thoughts, their eyes, their attention all go right to the back. And if you can see the faces that I see when the bride steps in the door, it's almost breathtaking. It's almost like, wow. You know, and people are just overwhelmed, and people are captivated by this beautiful lady that's walking down the aisle. I remember I did Miles Adams when he got married. I did his wedding, and I went up to New York and did his wedding. And his bride, Elizabeth, and they've been here before. And Miles was standing down front, and when they opened the doors, I said, "All rise." And Miles, man, took off running to the back. I said, "Hey, right in the middle of the," I said, Miles, no, you're supposed to stand right here." Man, his bride looked so beautiful, and he was so excited that he couldn't stand up front. He had to make a 40-yard dash back to the back. And so, you know, when we think about Revelation and how it talks about the bride being adorned, and that's what heaven is like. Just think about that. You know, I mean, there's a lot of beautiful things that we can talk about on this earth. But one of the most beautiful things that we can see is the bride as she comes down the aisle. And that's what heaven is like. Heaven is a beautiful place. The next thing that we see that the Bible says over and over again is that heaven is called paradise. And in the Old Testament, there are several references to a place called paradise. That word paradise actually means wooded garden. And we see that in the Old Testament, in the book where I think it's the book of Nehemiah, it's in your notes, but in the book of Nehemiah, it talks about a magnificent forest. That's what paradise is described as. In the Song of Solomon, it's described as a great orchard or a beautiful garden. So this word paradise is a place that's beyond comprehension. The beauty of the bride, and then this place called paradise. When we think about, there's a book that was written by John Milton, and it was entitled Paradise Lost. And in the book, he talks about how Adam and Eve were in paradise, and that when they sinned, they got kicked out of paradise. One of my favorite groups back in the 70s was a group by the name of War. And they had this song. And the title of the song was, "The World is a Ghetto." Some of y'all remember that song. But I remember in that song, they said they were searching for paradise. They were looking for paradise. Here they were in the ghetto. Here they were in the inner city. And they were bemoaning the plight of people in the inner city. And he said, "I wonder where I find paradise. Somewhere there's a home sweet and nice. I wonder when I'll find happiness. I better give it up. Now I guess." And then he went on to say, "Don't you know that is true? That for me and for you, the world is a ghetto." And in comparison to heaven, the world is a ghetto. But let me tell you something that Milton wrote about, Paradise Lost. That's something that War searched for, that paradise that they looked for. When Jesus was on the cross with the dying thief, Jesus told him, "Today, you will be with me in paradise. You will be with me in this place of beauty. You will be with me in this place that's beyond comprehension. It's indescribable. You can't begin to describe what heaven is like. The place, it's a place of beauty compared to a bride. It's a place called paradise." And just think right now, your loved ones who have passed on, that they are in a fantastic place, that they are in this place called heaven. And I don't know about you, but this is a place that I desire to go to. Now, I'm like the little boy when the preacher was preaching and he gave the invitation afterwards, and he said, "Who wants to go to heaven?" You know, first of all, he asked, "Who's not saved?" And a couple of people raised their hand. There was a little boy that raised his hand. He said, "Who wants to go to heaven?" And a couple of people raised their hand, and the little boy didn't. And afterwards, the preacher went up and he said, "Son, you know, I asked, you know, who wasn't saved, and you raised your hand. And then I asked, who wants to go to heaven, but you didn't raise your hand. You know, why did you do that?" He said, "Pastor," he said, "I really want to go, but I thought you was getting up a load right now. And so... I'm ready to go. You know, I'm ready to go. When God calls, I'm ready to go. But if he tarries and allows me to stay here a while longer, you know, I'm all right with that." But it's a place. You know, just think. It's a place that we should long for. You know, sometimes when we look at the condition of this world and we see the things that we go through, you know, our longing should be for heaven. You know, I like the song. Now, again, somebody's going to say, "Oh, you quoting too many songs this morning," but I got to. There's too many songs on heaven. That was the OJs who said, "Don't you want to go? Don't you want to go? Don't you want to go? Don't you want to go to heaven?" Now, I don't know what kind of heaven they were talking about taking people to, but I want to go. And so we see here that Jesus brought good news that there is a heaven. But here's the problem. There's a problem that arises. And the problem is this. This is the bad news about the good news. The bad news about the good news. And that is, sinners can't get in. If you are a sinner, you can't get in to heaven. If we were to read Revelation 4, we would see that the center of heaven is God, that he sits on the throne, and that he is what heaven is all about. But look at, if you would, Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, and it points out a problem here. If God is at the center of heaven, he is the one that's seated on the throne. He is the one who gets all worship. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2. Well, let's read verse 1. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God." Wow. You can't go where God is at. God will not allow sinners to come in to the place where he's at. And so, you know, on this earth, there's a whole lot of people talking about going to heaven. But we all know the song. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. And so we can't go into the presence of God because our sins have separated us from him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 9, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? So we're already talking about, we got a reference point. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkard, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You can't get in if you're a sinner. Heaven is a beautiful place. It's like a bride adorned coming down to meet her groom. It's a paradise that's described in the Bible. But you can't go. You can't get in. That's the problem. And then in the book of Revelation, John nails it on the head. In Revelation chapter 22, in verse 15, look what he says. Again, we go back to verse 14. Blessed are they that wash their robes, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city, of the city called heaven. That these are the people who can go to heaven. But look what he says in verse 15 of Revelation 22. For outside of the city, outside of the city are dogs and sorcerers and fornicators and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. That these individuals are without the city. So if you put my slide back up there that I had where it talks about the problem. And you can see here the problem. Now, again, when people die, they immediately go to heaven or they go to a place of torment. So this is kind of like a bad picture right here because, you know, this guy's like sitting outside the city of heaven looking in. But my point is, and so I don't want anybody to think I'm teaching bad theology, right? Because if this guy's dead, you know, and he doesn't know Christ, then he's in a place of punishment right now. But don't miss the point that I'm trying to make. The point that I'm trying to make is that he can't get in. He can't get in. That anybody that does not know Christ can't get in. You know, one of my weaknesses during the week, and at least once a week, there's a wing shop over in Wilkinsburg. About once a week. And we all need to, I don't know about you, but I need to repent after Thanksgiving. Yeah, I'm in a state of repentance, you know, and got to hit the gym a little bit extra next week. So I might not be able to go to my wing place. But, man, they got the best wings in the city, man. As a matter of fact, when you go to get some wings, there's a sign on the window that says, voted best wings in the city. And these are not these little wings. I'm talking about jumbo wings, man. You know, but I remember one day I was in there. I went to get some wings, and I was standing in line. Man, I love being in the city, man. I love being in the city. And there were some brothers, young brothers, up front. And they had handed the lady some change. And she looked at one of the coins, and she looked at it, and she said, I can't take this coin. It's not worth anything here. And one of the young brothers said, well, it's worth 50 cents in Jamaica. And you know what she told him, right? Then go to Jamaica and send it. It's not working here, right? It's not working here. And so you can try to work your magic. You can try to work your thing however you want to try to get in. But it ain't working here. You can't use that here. There's only one way, And we're going to look at that right now. This is the problem. The bad news about the good news is that sinners can't get in. But let's look at the purification. The purification. And we see the good news is that Jesus came to cleanse sinners and to make a way for them to go to heaven. If you'll go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where we read about people who couldn't get into heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it says, we just read it. I'm not going to read it again, but it told you who couldn't get in. A whole list of people that couldn't get in. Now, you might be sitting here today, and you say, man, them bunch of misfits. And you might look down on your nose at them and say, I can't believe people would be involved in those type of sins. I can't believe that somebody would actually do the things that are talked about in verses 9 and 10. But Paul says, and such were some of you. All right, okay, there's a few. I got a few witnesses out there. I got a few. Pastor Glaze, not the only one now. And such were some of you. But look at this. You couldn't get in. You were in this group, and you couldn't get in. But now you are washed, and you are sanctified, and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Praise God. We see here a bunch of misfits who have been made fit to enter into heaven. I heard a poem, and the poem says, I was shocked, confused, and bewildered as I entered heaven's door, not by the beauty of it all, nor the lights or its decor, but it was the folks in heaven who made me sputter and gasp. The thieves, the liars, the sinners, the alcoholics, and the trash. There stood the kid from the seventh grade who swiped my lunch money twice. Next to him was my old neighbor who never said anything very nice. Bob, who I thought was rotting away in hell, was sitting pretty good on cloud nine, looking incredibly well. I nudged Jesus. What's the deal? I would love to hear your take. How all these sinners got up here. God must have made a mistake. Why is everyone so quiet, so somber? Give me a clue. Hush, Jesus said. They're all shocked because no one thought they'd be seeing you. Man, just think. This ragtag bunch of people here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the fornicators, the idolaters, the adulterers, the effeminate, the thieves, the drunkards, the revilers, the extortioners, they all had to come through the blood of Christ. That's the good news this Christmas. This good news is that it doesn't matter what background you come from. The good news is it doesn't matter where you've come out of. That you can be washed and made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can enter into heaven. Oh, the thing I like about this poem right here is the fact that the blood of Christ, it goes from the uttermost to the guttermost. That the blood, it reaches the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood of Christ. When that angel proclaimed the good news on that Christmas morning, he was proclaiming that there's power in the blood.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Good News from Heaven. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Good News from Heaven, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Good News from Heaven. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Good News from Heaven. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.